You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. It feels good to be back. We've solved all the audio issues we've had for the last week. It has been over a week since we've had those problems, so it feels almost weird being back. It feels like I was gone for a long time, even though I was on the show as a guest, I guess, on Thursday, a co-host with Jason Hernandez. Jason did take over the show on Monday. I really appreciated him doing that. Jason does a great job over at Touch 'Em All. We're really happy to have him here at Locked On Angels as well, helping us out. So on Monday, he did our Sunday night Twitter question and answer, and I wanted to bring my own to the show again. You know, I really enjoy doing that for everybody. So we're going to have another, we're going to call it our Wednesday night question and answer. I actually did on Monday night. I was asking the questions and answering questions on Twitter, and I'm going to bring the best ones to the show here on Wednesday as opposed to what would be our Monday show. So if you want to be a part of the show, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Let's get to some of your questions, though. We're going to start off with some miscellaneous as well as some wintertime decisions, I think is what we may as well call it here. So let's start off with this one here from Chris Chapman at ChapDaddy76. In the 2018 draft, the Angels took a pitcher who was not affiliated with any school. I believe he was pitching in a Sunday league. Where did he pitch this year, and how did he do? Yes, you're right. He did pitch in a Sunday league. His name was Christian Reyes, and he was pitching down in Miami region, and he ended up having a scout day where he was throwing like 98, 99, something like that, and the Angels took a chance on him in the 22nd round, I believe, of the 2018 draft. He was released on June 7th is what I'm reading here. I did know he was released. Didn't really have much of a professional career. Pitched 12 innings. He ended up allowing 15 hits, struck out 17, walked 10, had a 12 ERA, led 16 runs in 12 innings. You know, they gave him a chance, and it just didn't work out. That's essentially what you do when you start drafting guys that are that far down in the order, is you're basically giving them an amateur tryout. And, you know, sadly, it just doesn't always work out. I'm sure Christian Reyes enjoyed his time as a professional baseball player, but these things happen. So great question, Chris. Next one here comes from NM Baseball 52. Where do you think William Holmes starts next season, and does he have a better chance making it as just a pitcher, just a hitter, or as a two-way player? So William Holmes, if you're unfamiliar, he was a fifth-round pick from 2018. He was 17 years old at the time. He won't turn 19 years old until December of this year. So spent this entire year as an 18-year-old. Really a special talent, athletic-wise. He is one of the better athletes in the Angels organization, which is, you know, that's something to say when you got Jordan Adams and Joe Waddell. But when it comes to William Holmes, I'll tell you, if you'd asked me this a few months ago, I'd have said just as a pitcher. I think he has a lot of upside as a pitcher. But I saw his swing, and someone sent me video of his swing, and it was in an Orem jersey. He was with the Orem affiliate, and I didn't put two and two together. And I said, man, did Joe Waddell go down and sneak his way down into Orem and do something with a swing? And the person's like, no, that's William Holmes. And I was blown away. I'll tell you, this kid, the athleticism and the swing, the adjustments he's made offensively, I think he's got a chance as a two-way player. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I think his upside as an offensive player maybe is like a fourth outfielder, but the fact that he could maybe be your fourth outfielder and pitch for you, now, this kid, he's really an exciting player right now. Picked up some velocity on his fastball, and I think he is one of the unsung Angels prospects right now. I think I was actually the low man on him, and now I'm all over it. He is exciting. So great question there, NM Baseball. Next question here comes from That Big Oof. Great name. At Angels 7x97. Question is, not related to anything important, but the Shohei Ohtani shirt with his face all over it. What do you think? Cop or drop? So that's a giveaway. I don't remember what day exactly that giveaway is. I actually think it's this week coming up. It's got Shohei Ohtani's face all covered on it. You know, look, I mean, people wear those shirts with like the fake tie-dye prints that are in patterns. They wear like the ones with, it's not palm trees, but it's like fanned palm kind of garbage like that, and they wear that shirt. So I'm sure there's people that are going to wear it. My opinion of it, I don't mind. I think it's kind of cool, but I don't think I'd wear it out in public personally. But I could see plenty of people wearing it to the games. And Shohei Ohtani, you know, he's a hot commodity, man. And you have a shirt with his face on it. I think, you know, it's definitely a conversation piece. Not something that I would put in my wardrobe necessarily, but also something that, who knows? I don't dislike it. I don't think it's awful. Just not something that I would wear daily. So another question here from Brad at UHH Angels fan, loyal listener, says, wouldn't it be nice to have Garrett Richards coming back from injury for the Angels? I think there's 30 teams out there that would really enjoy having Garrett Richards right now, especially on the deal that he's got. What is it? I think he's making $7 million for 2 years. So the Padres have him next year as well for $7 million. Yeah, I mean, the Angels did make an offer on him. They tried to get him, and the price didn't match up. And the Angels had him for, you know, however many years. A guy that's going to be going into his 30s at the end of this contract. It just, you know, Garrett Richards had a better offer. And you can't really blame the Angels on that one. They gave him every opportunity. But, you know, when Angels' injuries, and especially pitching injuries, are something that's been such a problem, it's tough. So, but yeah, there's 29 other teams, I think, that would really enjoy having Garrett Richards at $7 million a year. It was a great pickup by the Padres. And congrats to Garrett on making it back from Tommy John. I just saw him about two weeks ago, roughly. He was rehabbing down in Lake Elsinore. Went and saw him, chatted with him, and really happy to see him back on the mound. So, next question here is from AJ Street 77, and it's a pretty big one. It says, how important is this offseason for your outlook on the Angels for the next 2 to 5 years? My outlook is going to be different from others, but more, I think, just how important is this offseason for the Angels over the next half decade? And when you look at Gerrit Cole, you know, you think of the importance and value of Gerrit Cole as long as he is healthy. See, that's the biggest thing, is as long as there's health involved and you're assuming that all health comes together, it's a very vital offseason. And spending the money the right way, you know, you're going to see Gerrit Cole regress at the end of whatever contract he signs, whether it's with the Angels or Astros or Dodgers or Yankees, whoever it is, he is going to show regression at the end of that contract. It's just how early that regression begins. But I still think that Gerrit Cole is someone that the Angels do need. As for other additions, I think trades are going to be very important this year, especially. But the biggest thing with the Angels and trades is they have a good farm system. It's right around the middle of the road, but they don't have that mass surplus of talent that's going to bring in excess of talent. You know, I see a lot of people saying, hey, why don't we trade Matt Theis and Taylor Ward and Jared Walsh for something? I mean, I like all those guys, but they're not going to bring any value back. It's going to be like a one-for-one, and there's not a lot of value there when it comes to trading those guys, sadly. So you're going to have to part ways with Brandon Marsh, Jordan Adams, Jose Soriano, guys like that, and it's going to cost you something. So, yeah, this is a very important winner for Billy Epler in particular. It could be his last winner with the Angels, depending on if he returns at the end of next year and Artie Moreno and John Carpino want to keep him around. So this is a very important – I mean, you figure, you know, a new general manager comes in, if Billy Epler isn't the answer at the end of next season, which I believe he is, and I'm not saying – you know, I think Billy Epler is going to stick around for the Angels for a long time, but say this is his last winner and you've got an entirely new regime coming in at the end of next year – man, this winter is very important for not just Billy, but for the Angels and especially for the next 5 years. So great question there, AJ. Next question comes from at Brian Mendiola 49. Says, are the Angels going to finally spend money this offseason? Didn't they just spend like 30-something million dollars last offseason? It just didn't play out. I mean, what? So Matt Harvey and Trevor Cahill, that's $20 million. Cody Allen was $8 million, something like that, and Justin Bourne, $3 million. So they spent $31 million last week. I mean, heck, that's a lot of money. They did sign these guys. Their names were Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, CJ Wilson. You know, the Angels are spending money. It's just how and where they spend money. Last offseason, we know they tried to sign Patrick Corbin, who signed a huge deal. They tried to sign Nathan Eovaldi. They tried to sign Wilson Ramos. They tried last year. They just got, you know, outbid. So I think they are trying to spend money. And I'm sure that if it was up to my checkbook and Artie Moreno's checkbook, they would like to not spend as much money. But no, they are definitely going to be spending money this offseason. And great question there, Brian. From one Brian to another, this one at Brian_Slosh, Garrett Cole has been getting all the attention, but what are the chances the Angels going for Yasmani Grandal? Now, this is a tough one. Yasmani Grandal, I believe, and I may be speaking out of my rear end here, but I'm pretty sure the Angels did make a push for Yasmani Grandal last winter. He was a free agent. They made a push. It didn't work out. And the thing is, Yasmani Grandal has a mutual option this winter. So I believe both sides, I believe the Brewers are very happy with him. I believe Yasmani Grandal is very happy with the Brewers as well. I'm going to pull up the contract as we speak here. And let's see. So he would be walking away. He's 30 years old for catcher. That's a little rough. But let's see. He, for next year, would be making $16 million. I mean, is he going to make more than $16 million on the open market with the way free agency's been? I think he's going to stick around and keep that $16 million. I mean, no promises here. You know, maybe the Brewers want to part ways. Maybe they want to open up some cash flow. Maybe Yasmani Grandal thinks he can get more. So, yeah, there's a chance. But I'm sure if he hit the open market, I'm sure that the Angels would have some form of interest. They do need to improve at catcher. The offensive value of Yasmani Grandal is very important, but his defensive value is – the Angels are going to be looking for defensive value. So I think a guy like Alex Avila may make sense. Martin Maldonado is on the market as well. There's a chance there. But, yeah, there's a few guys that I think would make sense, and if Yasmani Grandal is a free agent, he would be actually, oddly enough, he would kind of be one of the premier free agents of this offseason. Anthony Rendon, I don't see where the Angels could really use him. We're going to touch on that in the upcoming segment here, the second segment. But, man, Yasmani Grandal, I mean, I've thought about it, and I'm a big Yasmani fan, supporter, but, yeah, we'll have to see, so. We got to head to a break. Before we do that, we got to talk about Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service, all year round. For limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a word from our sponsors. Electric feel, yeah. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. We are doing our Wednesday Twitter question answer. We always do every week. We do a Sunday night Twitter question answer where we bring the questions to the show on Monday. Jason Hernandez did that for us earlier this week, and I wanted to kind of step in, do my own twist, and bring your questions in, so I'm doing it here on Wednesday. So these are some of your questions from Monday night, and I'm going to start with this one here. These are all Angels related, and this one starts from Jacob Fermage at JR Fermage. Next season, assuming infield lineups with Albert Pujols, Luis Renjifo, and Drelton Simmons and Tommy La Stella, is David Fletcher still able to pull in 90 to 100 games as a super utility guy covering both infield and corner outfield spots? With 60 games, give or take, without Ohtani at DH, gives them flexibility to do so, right? In this scenario, does it feel like Theis would be better off in Salt Lake, seeing everyday playing time with Walsh or even Bohr off the bench? He's earned his spot, it seems, but if AP can stay healthy, or AP stays healthy, can't imagine more than 2 to 3 starts a week in a crowded infield. That was a wordy question, so let me start with this. Next season, when it comes to the infield, David Fletcher has earned a spot above, I mean, Drelton Simmons is there, but I think David Fletcher has earned a spot just as well as Tommy La Stella, and Tommy kind of has to come back and show that he is the Tommy La Stella we saw this year, the All-Star. I think Luis Renjifo is kind of the odd man out here. He's got options, a young guy who's still kind of learning. He may be your super utility guy moving forward, and you might want to be trying to find him 90 games as opposed to David Fletcher. I want to give David Fletcher 120 games easily. But with all this that you were mentioning, it does give you a lot of roster flexibility, a lot of infield flexibility. Maybe you do trade for infield surplus a little bit. I don't know who that would be specifically, but maybe you do some little bit of trades here or there. As for Matt Theis, Justin Bour, and Jared Walsh, that is your left-handed bat to sub in at first base. And Matt Theis obviously can play third base. And also, Matt Theis has a little bit more upside right now than either Bour or Walsh. I mean, Justin Bour, we know what he's capable of. He's capable of putting up outrageous power numbers, but the contact just is not there that it used to be. And Jared Walsh is kind of still struggling at the major league level. Matt Theis is, I'm not going to say struggling, but, you know, these guys as a mix as each other, it's very tough to see what's going to happen here. So one of those guys kind of has to be your sixth or infielder, and you maybe, yeah, maybe David Fletcher is your fourth outfield kind of guy with time. You're going to have to find things. This is something that's just, you know, these guys are, they're decent baseball player. I'm not going to say that none of these guys are really full-time starters. I think the ones you mentioned before, when Luis Ranjifo and Jarelton Simmons, Tommy La Stella, David Fletcher, maybe you moved Tommy La Stella over to first base. See what you can get out of him there. But you have roster flexibility, and it's never a bad thing to have too many good guys in your roster. So, yeah, there may be some guys like Matt Theis, Luis Ranjifo, that maybe are seeing time down in AAA Salt Lake as depth, and who knows? I mean, Jared Walsh even. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the Angels next year with their roster flexibility and roster depth. So, next one here comes from Craig V. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm going to save Craig V. So, Craig, stay tuned in. I'm going to take this one from Nate Darling. Is Albert Pujols quietly having one of the most durable seasons? Is there a good reason to watch any of the rest of the season? So, I did pull this up. Albert Pujols is having one of his better seasons since 2016. His offense has been right around league average. He's got a 99 OPS plus, which is literally league average. He has played 120 games, more than he played last year. He has been able to put together, I mean, outside of 2013 when he didn't play 100 games, he has played 2017 he played 149, so this is the excuse, but he has played 150-plus games every year since being with the Angels outside of that 2013 year and last year. This year, 120 games, 500 plate appearances now. And he just missed the 500 plate appearances last year. Definitely better than 2017 or 18 this year. Yeah, he's had a pretty durable season. It's been one of his better ones of late. It's just weird to say that, you know, 120 games right now for Albert Pujols is durable, but it's true. He has not been, I'm thinking to myself right now, I don't believe he has hit the injured list at any point this year. I may be missing something, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, it's been a fairly decent year for Albert Pujols, not by Albert Pujols standards, but by baseball perspective. And, you know, you have that leader in the clubhouse is very important. Albert Pujols very obviously on the decline, which is a shame because he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. But you asked about something to watch for the rest of the year. Anytime Albert Pujols steps up to the plate, he is passing another Hall of Fame caliber player. Albert Pujols is we are seeing the regression, and it's sad if this is what you remember of Albert Pujols, but Albert Pujols still one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time, one of the greatest hitters in baseball history. And anytime you could, you know, you get to watch someone of that caliber, it's worth it. So I highly recommend heading out to Angel Stadium and watching Albert Pujols do things. Outside of that, yeah, it's been a struggle. It's been tough. September's been rough. August's been rough. Ever since that Baltimore series at home, it's been a rough stretch. And I understand the frustration. I understand, you know, tuning in and out of games. I get it. But Albert Pujols, very special. So I did want to link these. I did mention Craig V. There was a question there. And I want to link these here. And the reason why is because of the first question. So the first question comes from SDNOC at Halos and Pizza. What's wrong with Ty Buttrey? Has he lost it for good? Will he regain his form? Ty Buttrey just was worked and worked and worked at the start of the year. I mean, just insane amount of usage. And I'm not talking about innings pitched. I'm talking, you know, he is up to 67 games this year. 67 games. And essentially all of that since the start of the year has been in high leverage situations. That's just the wear and tear on the body. I'm not talking innings pitched, which he does have 67 innings pitched as well as 67 games. But to be able to throw that many times a year, so you figure, you know, the Angels, he's pitched in almost half the Angels games or close to half of the Angels games. That's tough. So every other day, every third day. Oh, man. I mean, I know it's a pitcher's job to do that, but it is tough. So, I mean, the stuff is still there. Velocity may be a tick down, but when you've got that much wear on your arm and it's going that daily and everything, and you forget the up-downs when he gets up in the bullpen to kind of get throwing, and some days he doesn't throw, it's tough on the body. So, I mean, I think Ty Buttrey is going to be all right. Maybe he won't be elite the way he was to start the year next year, but I do believe he is important, and I think the Angels are going to find some very strong use for him. The question here from Craig V, who we mentioned, at Craig_V, who will they keep from this year's corp of relievers? It's tough to say because you think about the way that relievers are. It's an ever-open door. You know, you come in, you come out, and it's as simple as that. You hardly ever see, outside of elite closers and elite relief arms, you just have constant arms coming up and down, moving in and out of the bullpen. And the Angels, you know, they have Ty Buttrey, Keenan Middleton, Hansel Robles. But any of those guys could be, you know, suddenly just it doesn't work out anymore. It's a real shame about the business and relievers. Just that's how it goes, especially with these high-velocity arms. I do believe the Angels will look at the controlled arms and keep them around. That, you know, obviously consists of Keenan Middleton, Ty Buttrey. Hansel Robles still has a year left. Justin Anderson, my favorite guy, you know, one of my favorite dudes, and I can't even say his name. I think they're going to keep most of the core. Noe Ramirez has done fairly well this year, actually really well this year. Cam Bedrosian actually pitched pretty well this year too. So I think, you know, kind of keep it open-minded, but I don't have an exact. I don't know if they're going to add anyone like premier relief arm via free agency. There aren't really that many arms that are relievers that really are premier this year. But I don't know if they're going to really add anyone for extensive money, especially after getting burned from the Cody Allen deal. So it'll be interesting to see on that. Next question is a pair of questions, and it comes from Brandon at MLB and UFC fan, and also Trev at Traer. Question is, does Trout win his third MVP, or does Bregman get it because he's not injured? And also, what are the odds Trout wins MVP still? I think it's pretty tight. I'm not going to say it's a lock because that would be very unfair for me to say, but Mike Trout has just had a better year than Alex Bregman or DJ LeMahieu. I think if he doesn't win it, it's because I try and pan this out as much as I can, but there is such a thing as East Coast bias, and obviously DJ LeMahieu is going to have that. But Alex Bregman, I'll tell you, if DJ LeMahieu wins it and Alex Bregman doesn't, that would be really upsetting. I think Alex Bregman is the closest competition that Trout has, but I think Mike Trout's just, he's had a better year. And yeah, he's not on a winning team, anything like this, and that's going to be a knock. He's injured, so that's going to be a knock. But no, I think the voters are smart enough this year. I think that Mike Trout wins his third MVP, and if he doesn't, we're going to hear a lot of sorry, you know what, excuses as to why voters said something just stupid. Just really stupid. So, next one here is from DC Lumberg. Hey, DC, he helps out with Jason Hernandez over at Touch 'Em All. He says, two questions. What do you think of the chances are that Cole Calhoun has his team option picked up? And if his option isn't picked up, or even if it is, what do you see the starting outfield looking like at the beginning of the year? Angels need that $13 million. I know it's a $14 million option, $1 million buyout. So they need that $13 million on the open market. I don't think they have, you know, I think they see Joe Adell in the very near future, maybe not the start of the year, but I think you're going to see the start of the outfield be Justin Upton, Brian Goodwin, and Mike Trout. I think Cole Calhoun's days are very limited in Anaheim now, unless they bring him back on a different deal, which he may, you know, want more money somewhere else. Sadly, you know, Cole Calhoun, such an important piece. A lot of people really like his play. I like his play. I've always enjoyed being around Cole, but I think his days are limited now in Anaheim. And, I don't see how they can let $14 million just stand there, you know, stare him in the eye, and that $14 million could go to someone like Garrett Cole. So, final question here comes from at RexTSue99, I believe. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. It says, since Shohei Ohtani won't be a full-time DH next season, do you see Mike Trout and Justin Upton get more DH days instead of Pujols? I think keep them in the lineup every day and let Adele or Goodwin play center field would be great. Makes sense. So Shohei Ohtani is going to be the DH roughly 4 days out of six. So you can assume that is about 100 games at the DH position. That's just rough. You know, it could be flexibility, could be platoons, things like this. But roughly he's going to get about 100 games at DH next year. You could work in Albert Pujols. Figuring out where Albert Pujols is without a real lock at first base behind him is kind of tough. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens here. You do want to get Mike Trout off his feet a little more regularly. You do want him in the field. And Justin Upton, you need the bat in the lineup. I know he's had a rough year, but I think he's going to be just fine moving forward. I see what – and then when Joe Adell comes up, obviously things will be a little bit different. I see what you're saying, but I don't think it opens up as much space as what you believe. 100 games is a lot of games, so it'll be interesting to see. But great question there. So thank you for all of your questions, for everyone that's tuning in today. I appreciate that. You want to be a part of the show next week, follow us on Twitter, at LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. We will go back to our Sunday night Twitter question answer, so watch for that 9 p.m. Pacific time tweet, and I'll say, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions, and we'll answer them on the show in the morning. So appreciate all of you tuning in. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Also, don't forget to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. We'll let Electric Field play out. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.